Hi, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well and enjoying the last few days of the holiday season. Welcome back to the Marketer Pitch Podcast and what we are calling the last episode of 2022, which is insane how many episodes has been. We are on volume 28, the fourth episode in this season, season three. And again, I just want to thank you guys all for joining us on this journey. And we're looking forward to getting to a great episode for this one because we have some juicy topics we wanted to discuss. But before we do that, we're going to start with our usual, our intros. And for those of you who are brand new to the podcast, one, welcome. But two, if you don't know, I'm Corey Davis. I'm one half of the Marketer Pitch podcast host, and I'm your marketing advertising expert. I have over 10 years of experience in the business, and I'm currently a VP at a media agency. So, you know, I do have a little pedigree and can give my advice. And even more importantly, I'm joined by the lovely, the beautiful, my co-host, Yesenia Reynoso, who is a PR and communications guru, but I'll let her do her own introductions and give her own pat on the back.
Oh, Corey, my good friend. That was such a beautiful intro, and thank you so very much for that. And thank you for being part of this journey, my friend, and developing this podcast together. And hello to our entire Marketer Pitch family. Welcome to Volume 28, aka Episode 4, Season 3 of Marketer Pitch. I'm Yesenia Reynoso. I am an award-winning storyteller, content creator, and public relations practitioner. Bilingual, of course. I've been in the PR communications industry for about a little over 10 years, specializing specifically in in-house corporate communications, working at both the for-profit and the nonprofit sector. And so I've been blessed to work with some of the finest experts from both arenas in a variety of subsectors, from developing, implementing, brainstorming, and bringing to life a wide variety of storytelling, mission-based initiatives, campaigns from internal, external, and everything that surrounds corporate communications. And so very happy to be here and to be offering that PR expertise from those lenses.
Yes. And again, this podcast is our perspective of all news and all topics and from the marketing, advertising, PR, communication standpoint, but from a Black and Brown perspective, which I think is very critical in this industry. We don't have very many think pieces and very many thoughts and analysis from people from the Black and Hispanic communities. So, you know, Yesenia and I's goal and mission creating this podcast was that we were talking about these topics in our friendship on a daily basis. We wanted to share that with you guys because I definitely think there's a need in our industry to really hear from other voices besides the standard voices that we're normally hearing from, which tend to be white men and women. So I'm glad that you guys are continuously to stick with us for the past 2 years, and we're looking forward to just getting into this episode. So go ahead.
Absolutely, my friend. And to quickly add on to it, we're at a very critical time here, especially where there's so many shape-shifting head waves that are colliding across all industry sectors. And I think it's more important to showcase the diversity and the inclusivity of not only the individuals who are bringing these topics to light, but also building platforms and raising awareness as to how we can continue bringing these stories, all kinds of them, to life in order for people to generate awareness and as well as educate themselves on all of these topics that are going to help them create important critical thinking decisions. And it's all about generating those conversations and bridging the gaps. And oh boy, I did not realize that we have an alarm here. I think what that has told us that we should just dive onto the show. But either way, It's good that you're here with us.
Yes.
Here today.
So to that point, and your last thing you just said was, you know, just the comments and the communications from a diversity standpoint. So to that, you know, my goal in being a half of this podcast is for people to hear something that's different, a perspective that's different from their own, and maybe learn something that's new. So to that point is I'm also looking to learn something new and something different from my own perspective. So continue to please tweet us at marketerpitch, email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. You can DM us on Instagram, marketerpitch, on all social media platforms, because I want to hear your comments and I want to hear, you know, what you're not only what you're liking or not liking about our podcast or what you want to see in the future, but also your comments on our topics. Because, you know, I'm not, while Yesenia and I are very regarded and experts in our fields, there's certain things that we can still learn. And no matter who is saying it, I'm open to learning and changing my own perspective. So definitely tweet us, email us, message us, and let's get into the show if you're ready for it, Yesenia.
Oh, I am ready, Corey. Let's get to it.
Okay, perfect. So just to give you a quick rundown, if you are new, but if you are seasoned veterans, you already know how our meals work. But on our podcast, we have three segments. We have an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. The appetizer segment is just a quick article or interesting thing that we're seeing over the past few weeks or the past few months that's very trending. Followed by our entree, which is the meat of our series, where we kind of dive in to specific topics that we want to discuss for this episode, followed by the dessert segment, which we normally don't have time for, but today we actually do have a dessert given to us by Yesenia. We have some announcements just about the podcast and moving into 2023 that we really want to give you guys an exclusive listen and exclusive look into. So more to come on that later, but if you're ready, Yesenia, are we ready to get into the appetizer?
Well, I can't wait. I'm already hungry, so let's get to it.
Awesome. So World Cup, that's what I wanted to discuss. We didn't get the opportunity the past few episodes to really discuss the World Cup. As you guys all know, the World Cup was held in November in Qatar this year. It's normally held in the summertime, but two things due to the heat and how hot it is in the summer in the Middle East. Qatar actually got it approved to move the World Cup into the last few weeks in November and early December. And as we all know at this point, Argentina has won the World Cup. Messi has got his final World Cup, which I'm very happy for him about. They defeated France in penalty kicks, and it was a good match. You know, the whole series was great. The United States took it farther than I expected them to take it. And not only did I think that it was a good match, and you say, I know you probably thought it was a good match as well. Data has come out about a couple of weeks ago that said that this is actually the most watched World Cup in history in the United States. So just to give you some more data on that, about 16.8 million people, according to Nielsen, watch Argentina defeat France on Fox, who actually got the World Cup for this year. And it's the most watched men's world class telecast in history. And mind you, so the World Cup in America is for the English language is on Fox. And then the Spanish language, Telemundo, which is owned by Comcast and NBC, has the rights to the Spanish language broadcast. So in the last World Cup in 2018, about 16 million people watched that combined on Telemundo and on Fox. This year, 16.8 watched it only on Fox. When you add in Telemundo, which is about, I think it was about another 9 million on top of that, we're looking at close to 26 million people that watched the World Cup this year across everything. And not only was a final significant to say that the United States was not in it, no other country in North America, Mexico was not in it, Canada was not in it. So the fact that for Americans were still interested around the holiday season and in other sports like the NFL and college football, going on. Baseball has ended, but like the news about baseball as well as hockey. So with all these sports going on and people are still interested in soccer, to me, I think was amazing. So I'm gonna shut up now. What's your thoughts on this, the World Cup, on everything, or were you shocked by these ratings, Yesenia?
Well, Corey, the ratings speak for themselves. I think over the last several decades, we have seen a increase in terms of popularity of soccer, or as the world calls it, football or football, across the sport. Now we understand why soccer or football, as the world calls it, is by far the world's most popular sport. Just take the Super Bowl, which is the United States' big marquee event, and their ratings, typically the Super Bowls their ratings are about a little over 100 million tops. Just multiply that times 10 with a global audience for the FIFA World Cup, over 4 billion people watch it. That dwarfs it. I mean, there's no... you know, you can't escape those numbers. It just tells you just how powerful football, or aka soccer, here in the U.S. Is very popular here in the United. You know, here in the United, it's getting popular here in the United States. And what's even more encouraging is the fact that the numbers for the final, where many are dubbing it one of the greatest finals in recent memory. I was one of many who watched it. It was absolutely incredibly thrilling. It sets them up for 2026. If you just think, if those numbers are big now, just wait till 4 years down the road when the United States hosts this. In prime time. So, and it's going to be back in their typical June to July corridor. Yeah. So just imagine just how even bigger those numbers are going to be. It has been nothing but pure success. Regardless of how you felt about Qatar hosting, and boy, did they came in with their own bag of scandals since they were first awarded it. You got to give Qatar props. They actually hosted a very thrilling tournament, and as well as a final that everybody still to this day continues to talk about. It just shows just how popular of a sport soccer is.
Yes, I mean, I'm not there yet like you are. I'm not going to give Qatar credit because of the human rights issues. Yeah. And I know it's selective outrage because other countries are probably doing the same exact thing, and I'm not calling them out specifically. But they did have a lot of issues, and I do want to acknowledge that while, yes, the game was successful, it was a great match, it ended without a hitch, the lead up to it was a mess, and Qatar did some very shady things. There's actually a very great Netflix documentary on FIFA and how this all developed. So,
I actually watched that documentary, and no doubt about it, was probably one of the better documentaries I've seen all year, as to how the corruption runs very deep within FIFA, and how shady business and greed has basically clouded the sport, and still does to this day. And so, leading up to the this particular World Cup, Qatar is not getting away with is not gonna get away with it unscathed. They did some shady, shady business, whether that's true or not. But again, you also have to acknowledge the fact that Qatar also has done things that they should be held accountable for.
I agree. And, as what you just said, your last statement, it's going into 2026 with the United States, when North America is hosting it, because also I don't want to leave out Mexico and Canada, because they will have some matches as well. I want to look forward and have our countries represent what a game should look like. And I want to have a more, more fun, interactive, and just non-controversial event. And I'm looking forward to just enjoying the games and feeling free to root for all these teams without feeling guilty about some human rights issue that went on with Qatar.
Absolutely. Every country has their own human rights issues. No country is perfect, but I think it's for North America, the United States, Canada, and Mexico, now that they are on deck, it's really important for all three of us to come together and be able to pull off a show that was enticing, and spectacular as it was this past year. We're also going to be expanding the field to 48 teams, and so that's going to, you know, make the tournament much more bigger and open for other countries to come in and be able to fight for the chance to be crowned champion.
Yes. And before we move on to the entree segment, because I know we've lingered on this one a little bit, I just want to get a quick hot take or a quick poll to you, Yesenia. So what's your thoughts? Because now we're seeing how successful the World Cup is. Do you think this will immediately translate to increased ratings and increased fanfare with the MLS in the next season? Or do you think this is kind of like the Olympics, is very once every 4 years, we're interesting, but we're not really going to care about soccer? What's your just quick take on that?
Quick take on that, I think it's gradual. I think I think the real ramification is going to come till after 2026. Obviously, MLS is going to have some sort of momentum that came from the FIFA World Cup, but I think you're going to see the real effects come in 4 years' time after North America hosts the World Cup, especially MLS. That's where you're really going to see as to whether or not soccer is now finally here to stay in the U.S. It has been gaining popularity in years, but I think for now, I think it's going to be gradual still. I think you won't see the real effects until in 4 years' time.
I 100% agree with that. So let's move on. I know we talked a lot about the World Cup. I can talk more about it, but I want to get into this entree segment. So this year, as we just said, this is our last episode of 2022. We're on the cusp of entering. I pray 2023 is going to be the best year of all of our lives. I'm going to proclaim that. But Yesenia and I really wanted to just discuss one trend each that we're seeing, that we're looking forward to seeing in 2023, and something that I think is going to shape our industry. So Yesenia, I want you can get to it first and give the audience your trend.
Sure. So I think there from the PR standpoint, there's definitely a lot of things to be aware of, like, for instance, artificial intelligence and technology, which are continuing to change the landscape of media events and the use of AI software and so forth. But I think one trend that I think is really going to resonate with communicators coming up in 2023 is the fact that mission-based and value-based storytelling is going to matter even more now. And as well as inserting empathy into that storytelling in 2023. And the reason why I say this is because in 2020 was basically a turning point for a lot of brands, with diversity and inclusion becoming a massive priority, and as well as companies' commitment to DEIIA. And it's great to see. But the main focus for all of these brands, whether it's for profit or nonprofit, is to continue to be on mission and further amplifying those value based storytellings, initiatives, and campaigns. Consumers definitely want to see brands that align with their values and see those values being shown in action in real time. And we're not just talking about social media or any other performative content. People actually want to see that that action be done live in real time and actually highlighting it and being much more socially aware. And so that strategy is going to be paramount for PR pros, especially since now with our society becoming much more aware of what's happening from a policy standpoint. I think now PR pros need to better educate themselves on important issues and being empathetic in the kinds of stories that they want to tell, and as well as building that platforms for those stories to showcase. PR is everything. And so it's going to be really important in order to generate those stories to be very mindful of global news and trends, whether it's natural disasters, economic downturns, international conflicts, domestic ones, and so forth. Just think beyond of what's directly impacting your client's target audience, and then shift that focus towards a much larger audience for people to understand, and more importantly, to establish connections.
I actually like that. So give me, if you can, like, and I'm actually, this is all new to me, and I'm learning too. And that's why I love about this podcast, because, you know, there's certain things in the industry that's happening I have no idea about. Can you explain, like, how has it been different, like, in the past, and how do you think this will change things going into even beyond 2023, if this does happen?
Well, I think just look at what happened starting in 2020 with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You also have the George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Aubrey.
Ahmaud Arbery. Yep.
Ahmaud Arbery. Thank you. Ahmaud Arbery situations, the racial ramifications that came because of it. And I think now people are becoming much more socially aware as to some of the systematic issues that has been plaguing, especially marginalized communities, and how brands are now becoming more educated about the issues, and as well as some of those issues having to align with their mission and value statements. Now we're seeing more and more companies being much more advocacy based.
Mm-hmm.
And the emergence of a new subcategory within the corporate communications umbrella called advocacy communications, which has very strong ties to nonprofit. And so just being able to create storytelling that is very mission based, that aligns with what the organization stands for, but also as to what audiences expect their brands to do. And so that's why I said that empathy is everything, and it's going to be incredibly important as to how they push their stories moving forward, having that more empathetic having that more empathetic and compassionate tone. And just quickly one story that has been captivating everybody is the strikes. We're starting to see more workers, as it should be, striking across the country, whether it's from Starbucks to the railroad workers. This is something that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and companies now need to start figuring out that internal and external communication messaging as to how employees are going to be demanding more for not only more of their basic rights, but also policies that right now, in my opinion, need to start conversations with, but also build solidarity and empathy in order to make real systemic changes to this country.
Yes. And, you know, I have another question, and I want to push you on it, but I want to save that for comments online. And I think this is a great segue to say that, you know, just because, you know, we're doing these quick bites and our podcast is 20-25 minutes, doesn't mean the conversation is going to end here. So, you know, I welcome each and every one of you to tweet us or message us or just send us an email, because I want to continue this conversation. And, you know, if there's interest is there, you send it and I can do a quick YouTube short bite discussing this further, because this is very interesting, and I hope that what you're saying happens with a lot of these brands moving into 2023.
Oh, absolutely, Corey, and it's something that we need to carefully watch as we continue to add much more authentic storytelling across our campaigns and initiatives. So this mm-hmm. is something our brands are being much more aware of, and something that audiences are also watching as well. So it's a twofold.
Yes.
Corey, what about you? What kind of trend from a marketing perspective you believe is going to take hold or dominate next year?
Yes. So my marketing and advertising trend that I'm looking closer to just pursuing further in 2023, it kind of goes back to what we discussed this entire episode. You approached it a little bit in your segment, and as well as why we started this podcast was really is hearing from a Black and Brown perspective, news, and giving our perspective on trends and items like that, because we saw the lack of response from a Black and Brown perspective in our industries. So to that point, I'm looking closer in 2023. It's a continued push of brands and advertisers to continue these DE&I goals. So DE&I is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. And I want them to continue these goals both internally and externally within their organizations, which efforts unsurprisingly took a back seat this year in 2022 after gains in 2020. Unfortunately, what happened with the murder of George Floyd, as well as Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor, is what you just said, by the hands of the police. So, you know, we saw all these brands right after these incidents happened in 2020. There's a few even pushing and going to last year, 2021, where they're saying we're going to be doing A, B, C, D, and E efforts to increase our DE&I responsibilities. We're going to have more people of color in our ads. We're going to have more people in our organization of people of color, and have more executive and C-suites of people in color, which they started doing great. But as all things, when the flashlight starts dimming away and then moving on to other things, in 2022, you start seeing less companies putting up focus and talking about it publicly like they spent the last 2 years doing. So I've been thinking about this over the past few months and trying to figure out a way to really bring this to the podcast, because I noticed that I haven't really seen the big brands really talk about this in 2022. And I, you know, when I was doing research for this episode and looking at kind of the marketing trends, I came across one article that just came out last week. I think it's very great. So Extreme Reach, which is a media measurement company, they did an analysis this year. Very interesting. That backs up my claim. So they found that the number of people of color in ads fell by 7% over the past year. So from year over year, and they looked at over 1 million ads in 2022. Mm. And 7% of people of color on that ads. And also I know it's the DE&I is mostly about people of color. So specifically Black and Brown people, but also women are part of that as well. So not only is it from a people of color, it's less. Extreme Reach found that 2/3 of the faces seen and voices heard in the ads are male. Yeah. To that point, they didn't find a single industry in which women's faces or voices were as common as men. A single industry. This includes CPGs, where primarily women are the buyers of packaged goods, food and beverage, where we know women makes a lot of the household decisions. They're buying it. Retail. None of these verticals included women were the common voice on these ads, mm-hmm. which is, to me, I think is insane. Yeah. So I want to look at what happened with these brands in this year. Is it, they're going to tell you that the economy, we're on the brink of a recession. There's so many other priorities where we unfortunately had to cut back on these efforts. But to me, that's an excuse, and that's not the right thing to do. As we listen to these brands make promises to us in 2020 and 2021 about how the new world within their organization will be and how they're transitioning to be more of a just and equity world. And we, you know, from us specifically in the Black and Brown perspective community, said we've heard this before in the past. You guys pay attention to us for 6 months and then you turn a blind eye. And we were told point blank that this year, this time is different. Well, it was not different, because this year in 2022, these brands took a backseat like we predicted them to do. So my goal in going into 2023, while I'm looking closer, is I think as a whole is we got to be doing a better job of holding these brands to the fire. Yeah. We want to be holding their feet to the fire. Look up specifically whatever they said in 2020. Look it up. Look up their percentages of what they're trying to reach, and then go back to them 2023 and say, here's your report card. Agency A, here's your report card, brand B. As you said in 2021 that you're going to make these efforts, in 2023 you've done it, thank God you got an A, or you started it but you got some work to do, you got a C, or you we're just lip service, you have an F. So, you know, that's one thing I'm looking forward to next year. And I think there's a few people in internally in our industries that are will be pushing these brands to really make good on these promises that they've had over the past 2 years.
It kind of makes you wonder if we continue to see lip service from the majority of these big brands, is it due to the fact that they either continue to genuinely use the excuses of whether it's the economy or other operational priorities, whatever it is, or it's just willful ignorance? I think it's a, you know, to me, it's a combination of both. And I think in order for, for consumers to send a real message, you got to hit it where it hurts, their pockets.
Yep.
So that means you're going to have to start boycotting. Is that going to be an option? And what do you think, Corey? Do you think boycotting these brands in order to hit them where it hurts them the most, which will be their wallets, will that send them a message perhaps for them to wake up and finally address this?
And so to that, I have a different perspective when it comes to just boycotts and bans in general. I'm very individualized. So if that's what somebody feels that that's the best decision for them personally is boycotting these brands, I say by all means go for it. But for me personally, I think I just want the flashlight shine back on them, and I think that's going to be the most that's going to be the easiest way to get these brands to turn back on some of these goals they promised us 2 years ago. Because, you know, I'm not looking for brand, and I'm not going to name any brands because I want to call anybody out, because it's more about brands in general and not one or the other. But I don't want to look at brand B and say, hey, we're not going to buy your products anymore because you didn't do this. But I do want to look at them and say, you made these promises. Now, how are you going to rectify that in 2023? And then judging from how they do in 2023, then that conversation of, like you just said, boycotting and ban could be back on the plate in 2024. Because we said, you made promises, we brought it up to you, we allowed you a chance to fix it, you didn't do it, so maybe we should look elsewhere for our products.
Yeah, I think it's also, we also need to, you know, also get to the bottom as to why these companies have been painfully slow in addressing DEIA issues. Just look at,
because they don't care. I'm sorry to interrupt, because they don't care, if I'm being frank. They really don't care personally. And if they can get away with it, they will get away. But go ahead.
And you also have to look at the makeup of who is occupying the senior leadership roles at all of these major brands. I'm sorry to say, the majority of them are white and male. And so for these individuals, they are the very I hate to say this, but they are the very last people who just don't understand, DEIA. And they probably going to need the most help in trying to genuinely understand. You have to speak it in terms of profit in order for them to understand. But that's a topic that can be discussed in a whole nother day. But that was a good trend and something to watch out for, Corey.
Yeah. So I'll end it on this note. Then I know we need to move on, because this has been a great long episode. But the first one, I'm going to name one brand, and that's Walmart. So Walmart actually, and I'm naming them because they announced it first. So I want everyone to, this is going to be their 2023 report card. So Walmart came out at the ANAs, which is a big advertising event in October that's held every year. All advertisers and brands, they attend. Nonetheless, they announced at the ANAs that DE&I will be a big thing for them in 2023. So the CMO of Walmart actually said, for us, it's about, and I quote, for us, it's about how we make deeper and long lasting relationships with our associates, our customers, and our partners at large. They announced, and I continues to quote, we're going to spend a minimum of 5% of our total budget with black owned media and businesses. And that figure will continue to grow. So in 2023, mark my words, Walmart needs to spend at least 5% of their total budget, which is in the billions, with black-owned media. So I want everyone to, that's the first report card we have. I thank Walmart for actually stepping up to the plate and saying what they're going to do. And I look forward to hopefully this time next year giving them an A, because they've gone above me on the 5%.
We're going to find out when we give out those grades next year.
Yes. So with that, that is the conclusion of our entree, our deep dive segment. Again, Yesenia, thank you for your marketing trend in 2023, as well as myself. We'll see what comes of it over the next year. And now let's move on to the dessert segment, which, you know, normally we don't have time for, but today we specifically wanted to make time because I'll pass it off to Yesenia because we have a few announcements and just the future of Marketer Pitch Season 3 going into 2023. We have a few changes and some exciting news as well we want to announce. But Yesenia, I'll let you take it away and before we close out today.
Thank you, Corey. To our entire Marketer Pitch community, first and foremost, thank you so much for not only listening to this episode, but also all 28 of our volume from Season 1 through Season 3, and as well as our 6 intermission series episodes, which are available across major podcasting mediums. And we also, again, want to thank you for being a part of our journey since our launch in October 2020. We always continue to transcend the way we talk and examine the marketing and PR industries, adding a fresh and much-needed diverse voice across podcasting airwaves. And it's because of you we are where we are, and we continue to showcase that across all mediums. Heading into our third season, obviously we were incredibly optimistic about our delivering high quality storytelling, and as well as welcoming guests into our spectrum through our new segment. However, what we have seen so far is, and as well as both Corey and I heavily discussing as well, is for some reason, this particular season has been somewhat off in terms of formulating a set structure, since there are a lot of outside personal circumstances, and as well as the timing that has prevented us from formulating that structure. And so after careful and heavy consideration, we formally announced that Marketer Pitch Season 3 will officially end after Volume 28. So Volume 28 is officially our final episode of Season 3. This was an incredibly difficult decision, but we also want to utilize the time to focus on other important priorities that require our immediate attention. With Season 3 now coming to an end after this episode, Marketer Pitch will officially go on an extended hiatus until fall 2023. And now here come the good parts. First and foremost, we're happy to declare that Marketer Pitch, the general podcast, has been renewed for Season 4. And will return to podcasting airwaves in elongated. I hope I said that word right.
Yes, you did.
In an elongated season in fall of 2023. This is our way of not only saying thank you for being with us during our hiatus, but also a perfect way for us to come back and be able to deliver double the content, double the guest, and double everything. Because what's better than threes? Fours. So Marketer Pitch will be back bigger, stronger than ever for Season 4. In addition to our season renewal, we also have some exciting projects that are going to be coming up in the pipeline while this podcast will be on hiatus. Premiering in February 2023 is our new monthly limited series, which will center on marketing and PR themes that typically dominate industry and advertising cycles year round. And it is called Marketer Pitch Presents Short Takes. And Short Takes, it is going to be a 15-20 minute show. We're going to be doing 2 segments, and the limited series will be running exclusively from February through August, and that show will be accessed across all major podcasting mediums. So if you haven't done so, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Marketer Pitch for exclusive details. We'll be revealing those next month regarding Short Takes, and It will be debuting. Every episode will be debuted once a month. And we're very much looking forward to premiering Short Takes in February with the Super Bowl and Black History Month. So we already gave you a teaser as to what's going to be coming up on our new show. With the airing of Short Takes, Marketer Pitch Freestyle, our intermission series, will be skipped this year and will return in summer 2024. Originally, during the intermission series finale for year two, we announced that it was going to be renewed for another year, but ultimately, after analyzing all of the scenarios, we decided that it was best to skip a year and allow Short Takes to complete its limited series run. And so Freestyle will return in the summer of 2024. And also, a special announcement, your very own moi, Yesenia Reynoso, will be launching a brand new series called The Communicator. And The Communicator is going
Woo-hoo! So excited.
And this new limited brand new series will also be is going to be produced by my good friend Corey Davis. So you are also going to be part of the show, my friend.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yes, behind the scenes. So so this brand new series is going to be giving audiences an entry point into the world of corporate communications and PR/communications departments. So we're going in-house, baby. This brand new audio series will be premiering in February, and more details will be revealed not only on our channels, but also on my thought leadership brand mediums, Why Communicate. So if you haven't done so, and if you would like, follow Why Communicate at Instagram at why.communicate, Twitter, @why_communicate, and LinkedIn, Why Communicate. You can also reach out to me directly on LinkedIn as well if you want more details on the show, Corey. And that is all that I have on my plate. Obviously, there's a lot to assimilate. And I know you and I had our fair share of discussions as to what we wanted to do regarding the immediate future of the podcast. Obviously, incredibly heartbreaking for us to end our season here so unexpectedly after this episode, but we felt that there are a lot of important priorities on our respective ends that need to be taken care of first, and as well as the timing. But we're also very happy at the same time that there's going to be new content that's going to be coming up on the pipelines. And the best thing about Marketer Pitch is that it's the constant evolution and expansion of our brand to give you the best content possible.
Yes. And to that, I am, you know, it's like you said, it's bittersweet news for me, and you know, I'm still dealing with it, but I think this is the best decision to make sure that we're delivering the best content and the most highly engaging episodes to you guys listening. So, you know, looking forward to again, you know, working behind the scenes with Yesenia on her ventures, as well as coming back and doing some deeper dive on Black History Month and Super Bowl. So stay tuned for more content. But thank you guys again for this journey season three with us for this year. It was short and sweet, but I think we produced some really great episodes, some really great content. So I know this was an extra long one, but you guys deserve it because we've had a, you know, this is the last episode of season three. We've had a long run this year, but again, you're hearing from us from our short bites as well as season four coming up. Stay tuned to our website for more information. That's where we'll post the latest details and give you dates on everything. So feel free to you know, follow us on Instagram and Twitter so you have all the latest updates. So Yesenia, I'm about to get out of here. Any last statements for everyone before we leave?
Just want to simply say again, thank you all so very much for following us throughout this entire journey. Obviously, it's again, I am saddened, and it is bittersweet that season three is coming to an end, but we have so many things to look that we're looking forward to. Short Takes, The Communicator, season four of Marketer Pitch, which will be back in a much more extended version, and so the future is bright here in the Marketer Pitch universe. And we can again thank you enough, you know, for everything. Thank you for your continued support, and if you have any any questions or concerns, and as well as individuals who are interested in becoming guests on our program. We are going to be updating you regarding that for season four across our mediums at Marketer Pitch on Twitter and Instagram, and as well as you feel free to send us a media pitch at our primary email, marketerpitch@gmail.com. And don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and comment on across our mediums, and as well as follow us for all of these latest developments. We truly love you and we care about all of you. Thank you so much for your support. And we will see you for the February premiere of Shortcakes and in fall 2023 for season four of Marketer Pitch.
Yes. And with that, thank you guys again and have a great and happy new year, and looking forward to seeing you next year. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. Happy New Year.